And now, International Dating for Men. This is where regular guys become superstars overseas and come home with the finest women from around the world.
Do you want to wake up every day with the woman of your dreams for the rest of your life? Simply
irresistible. Get ready, because here's the international dating ambassador himself, your host, Mark Edward Davis.
This is Mark Edward Davis, International Dating for Men. This show is dedicated to helping change your life. If you've been out there dating, whether it's a half a century or just starting out at 20 years old, and you can't seem to find that someone that just makes your heart beat faster and brings you the happiness that you've been looking for, I'm going to help. This is what we do here. We're going to help change your life by getting you connected with your soulmate in a way that nobody else does. Have you ever even thought that your soulmate could be waiting for you overseas in another country? I tell you, I hadn't. But somebody showed me the way. I saw what he had. I said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. And my life will never be the same. I'm just here to pay it forward. This is a phenomenal show. I am so excited. This is a must-listen-to program. Today we have John Adams. He is the president of the largest romance tour company in the world. Literally, he's put thousands of men married to women they've met overseas. And that's his goal, face-to-face connection. He is going to talk today about how to get you connected eyeball to eyeball with a gorgeous woman who just can't wait to learn more about you and wants to give you the time of day. Now, I'm going to preach to the choir here a little bit, but you know, you walk out in any place out there today, into any scene, any social environment, whether it's a bar scene or a nightclub, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, and there's that gorgeous woman in the corner, and you know, she isn't going to give you the time of day. And even if she did, she'd probably be a little bitchy. Then you know exactly why guys are open to looking overseas. Right now, I want to take a few minutes and read you something that fascinated me. If you've been out there in the dating scene and you've heard the name David DeAngelis, this guy is probably in America, sells more products on dating than anybody. And I got one of his promotional emails, and it blew my mind how honest he was about the American dating scene. Let me read this to you. He says, this week I want to talk about one of my favorite topics. I want to talk about the fact that dating isn't a fair game. He goes on to say, some men are taller, some men are shorter. Women tend to prefer taller men. How unfair. A very small portion of the women that are alive are as perfect and beautiful as the women in Playboy and other magazines, and therefore, it's impossible for every man to have a woman that is this beautiful. How unfair. Many men go their entire lives without ever having sex. I didn't know that. How unfair. Some men have sex with hundreds or even thousands of women in their lifetimes. How unfair. Some men know the secrets of creating that magical emotion called attraction inside of women, even though they aren't rich, handsome, tall, etc., and wind up having their choice of beautiful young women. How unfair is that? Sometimes a woman will respond positively to you, then the next day she'll act strange. Sometimes a specific technique will work for you, and sometimes it won't. Sometimes you'll feel great and confident inside, and sometimes you won't. Of course, this is crazy. The more I realized this fact, that life isn't fair, the more I realized another profound truth. It's great news. If life were, quote-unquote, fair, then you wouldn't be able to do anything to change your personal success, and you'd get what everyone else was getting. Thank you, Mr. DeAngelis, for that piece and that honesty. And I have to challenge it straight up front. There is an underlying assumption that has to be challenged. The assumption here is that all you have to choose from, Mr. American Single Male, are women here in America. The truth is, there are more than enough Playboy or other magazine quality gorgeous women around the world available to match up with every single dating American guy. It's true. We have 44 million single American men estimated in this country at any time, out of the whole population. As you'll hear in the interview with John Adams, there's over 1.3 billion people in China alone, not to mention all the other countries we're talking about. So first of all, that is not a true statement. Gorgeous women are available in abundance. They're just looking for them in all the wrong places. Second of all, his point is that it's true. To attract them, they are finicky. They get a lot of attention because here he's right. They are the rare commodity. It's rare. This kind of beauty is seldom found, and therefore, they are flooded with attention. They're the sought-after target. This is where the supply and demand law comes into effect. There's very little supply of gorgeous women here and a lot of demand. So guess what? They get a lot of attention. They expect it because that's what they get on a day-to-day basis. Outside, around the world, it's a little different. Many, many, many gorgeous women and not as few guys who are serious. And so you are actually the hotter commodity. That's a topic for another day. Get the book. That is a great reason to go. If you want more information on this, go to the website, internationaldatingformen.com. Look for the book, Mastering the Adventure of International Dating. It's only $20, guys. Pick it up. Mr. David DeAngelis makes a couple other great points. One, some of the techniques you're going to try are going to work sometimes and not others. Sometimes you're going to feel confident, and sometimes you're not going to have that power. The thing I love is the way he concluded his point by saying the fairness factor is actually great news, because he literally says, quote, if life were fair, then you wouldn't be able to do anything to change your personal success, and you'd only get what everyone else was getting. Our point here is that you can change something to improve your chances of personal success and get exactly what you want by just learning where to look for it. So that's what we're all about here at International Dating for Men. Now, right up front in this segment with John Adams at the beginning, I wanted to ask him to explain something that really only he has unique perspective on, and that's the history of the evolution of this entire industry, of the international dating romance tour industry, because the introduction of technology and the internet in the 90s and the relative openness of different countries that were not available before, this is a new phenomenon. You guys got to understand the history of the world. This really is something uniquely new. These are options that probably really weren't that viable 20 years ago that are today. So he has a unique perspective on how this all came about and what it means to you for getting connected with those millions and millions of possibilities now overseas. So here we go. I have John Adams, president of A Foreign Affair, the world's largest romance introduction tour company, on the phone with me. John, welcome to International Dating for Men.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here. Looking forward to sharing some ideas with you.
Well, I am really excited about this because, you know, honestly, in my own journey, I had dated a lot on my own in Latin America, and when I got serious and ran into, you know, our buddy Mike Moore, who 10 years ago now met his wife in St. Petersburg, and he told me about A Foreign Affair. And I saw the results in his life, and I didn't even hesitate. Within 4 months of him telling me about it, I was on a plane, and Lord bless the fortuitousness, you were the tour guide.
Yeah, and I was a tour guide with Mike, too. I remember Mike years and years and years ago in St. Petersburg when he met his wonderful wife there, and it was fantastic. That's a story within itself, but I was lucky enough to have you on my tour, and that was fantastic. That was a great trip. That was a great, great group of guys.
Oh, my gosh, we had such a good time. I love these guys, too. We've kept in touch. In fact, my wife, Anna, is still talking with some of the wives, the other guys that they brought back, and the connection has remained three years later now. So it's been a blast. But now this whole thing has evolved. I think, what if I'd never heard of this? What if I never discovered this incredible opportunity? Where would my life be? And I had this hunger and passion to write the book and get this thing out there to the mainstream to be able to say this is a very viable option. So for me to have this opportunity on the radio show to return the favor, I want to have a chance to, as an interviewer now, to be able to get some behind-the-scenes stuff on the history of this and kind of ask you about, you know, let's start off where you started. You weren't always the introduction tour company to Nirvana. How did the whole thing start? Where were you before this came about?
Well, and actually, just before I get into that, you know, what you just said here is how it was very important. I think you said that, what if I never heard about this? And I really believe that this is the world's best-kept dating secret. And it's amazing that so many men out there have no clue, no idea what's outside our borders. They just think that they are destined, condemned, whatever, to just dating here, which, hey, there's a ton of wonderful women here and it can work, but there is absolutely no reason to limit yourself. And I think that there's so many people out there that have no idea. They think it's great what you're doing, trying to get the word out that, you know, there are other options available to you, and you just have to open your mind to them and explore them. So now, when we started, we actually were going to do a local dating service here, and that's really how the whole thing got started. You know, we noticed in the newspapers, in the personal ads, there were so many people searching for that special someone. You know, single male searching for woman, woman searching for man. But the one thing that was really missing were the photos. There was really no picture of these people that were searching for each other. And everybody was telling everyone how great they were. But then when you went out on a date, it was a nightmare half the time. So we thought it would be great to have actual photos of the people so that they could see each other before they actually went out on a date. And, you know, this is now that sounds elementary. I mean, everybody has that with all these big dating services out there. Back in 1995, there weren't these big dating services out there. And so we were going to do what they called a BBS. This was a precursor to the internet. And we were going to put that up there just for a local market here in Phoenix. As we were getting ready to launch that and we're doing all the work for that, we discovered the internet, and that was just fantastic. Because that opened a whole new world to us. And one of my other partners, Ron, had always wanted to do something on an international level. He had seen it years ago and thought it'd be really neat. But now, with the internet, the logistics of it became much more doable. And so we started going away from the local market and started working more and more towards that global market. And Russia was just emerging back then and opening up to everyone, and you were able to travel there now, and it still had a, which I think it still does today, but a great mystique to it. And so it was just a fantastic opportunity. The timing was right, and we sent one of our other partners, Ken, over to Russia to explore, and he was gauging the interest of the women there, and it turned out that the interest was very high. And so when he came back, he was so excited. He met so many beautiful women, and he just could not wait to get back. And so we worked extra hard to put together the first tour and actually open the site and get the profiles up and start all that. And we started in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Yeah.
But he just had to get back to start that first tour, and we did. And that's how it all started, really.
Well, it's interesting because the way you describe it, it sounds like none of this existed, and you kind of had to piecemeal it together to make this thing happen. Was there really none of this out there? I mean, there's so much infrastructure today out there, agencies everywhere.
Yeah, when you look at it today compared to what it was back then when we started, we were the first full-service international introduction company on the internet. Now, there were a couple of companies that were doing it with catalogs and mailing them out and things like that, but we're the ones really that brought it into the internet and brought it more into the mainstream. And I think that's evident when you look at our page on the media and you look at all the different media that have come and done stories about us, and even the full-length motion picture that was done with David Arquette and Emily Mortimer. So, you know, when you look at all that, you know, it's just obvious that we were the forerunners, and we are still the largest company in the international introduction industry today. We serve several countries and just thousands and thousands of people use the service every year, and it's fantastic. But it's still so small compared to the the mainstream dating market out there.
Oh, sure.
So many people just never heard of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I tell guys this because we get that question because right now, you know, like I said, it is my burning passion to make this aware to broadly because of that. The scope of it, I think the number I heard is out of the 380 million Americans, there are at any given time about 44 million single men in the country. And we know from the congressional studies that it's somewhere around 10 to 12,000 guys a year are getting married through these introduction romance tours that take place around the country. But you think about the difference on that, certainly vastly the market of 44 million guys are going to find an American woman. So, you know, by no stretch of the imagination has this even, you know, blipped on the global radar, as we hope it will at some point. But
no, and Mark, you just said something very interesting. You said 383 million, you know, Americans. You know, there's 1.1 billion people in China. 1.1 billion, or no, I'm sorry, I think it's 1.3 billion people in China. It's 20% of the world's population.
Wow.
You know, why wouldn't you even consider that, you know, maybe there's just somebody over there that would be really a perfect match for me out of the, you know, millions and millions and millions of women that are over there. So when we sometimes in the United States here, we tend to think very internally, and we don't think more globally. That has to do a little bit with our news coverage. It has to do a little bit with the way that we think here. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, you know, we tend to be a bit myopic in our thinking when it comes to dating. But I'll tell you, there are so many people all around the world. And I've been traveling a lot. I just got back from China. I'm going to be going to the Philippines here soon. I was in Ukraine a couple months ago. And it's amazing in the different cultures, all the experiences that you can have. It's mind-boggling. And why you wouldn't want to try to avail yourself to that if you are really looking for that one special person. I just have no idea.
No, and it's interesting because, you know, as much as, you know, we think we're trailblazing, the funny part is the more and more as I'm talking with guys who become interested in this, so many of them are coming from a place where they'd already traveled to some other country on their own, maybe business, maybe on some other trip, and their eyes were open to intermixing with these people and the women and just going, wow, this is a different culture, and it's very intriguing to them. So it's interesting to me that the experience of guys traveling almost validates it, and then they go, well, how do I get that? And then they find, you know, your tour company. But the truth is what you're saying is valid. You know, however many, you know, the vast population of the world is outside of the myopic scope of the United States of America is radically different, and the cultures are different, the perceptions are different, and the match between good guys here and the incredible women around the world seems to be a great fit. But it's funny how many guys won't believe it, except for those who've been there, and right, they know for themselves. So it's like we're trying to convince guys who haven't been, and yet a lot of the guys are coming to you and saying, you know, I've tasted this. How do I get more? How do I actually, you know, marry one of these?
Sure.
That it's very real. And it's not anything we're making up. It's been there the whole time.
No, it is there, and it's still there, and it's a fantastic opportunity. But, you know, on the other side, it's not something that is a magic pill or a silver bullet. I mean, it's not something that you can just say, okay, well, I'm just going to go over there, and I'm going to pick a woman, I'm going to live happily ever after, and that's it. I mean, you know, you still have to put a little bit of work into it. You still have to court the woman. You still have to do all those things. But what we provide is just much more of an opportunity. We expand the population so much more that the possibility for success is so much greater because you're meeting so many qualified, wonderful women that really do want to meet someone. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity, but you still have to work at it. You still have to do the things you need to do to make that relationship work just like you would anywhere else. So we don't want to put this across like it's the easiest thing in the world. You just go over and get married and that's it. No, you still have to choose wisely. You still have to do all those things that you would normally do, but this just enhances your chances for success so much more than what you have here in the States.
Yeah, I think you're right. And obviously, you know, I had you read my book before I even went to the publisher because I wanted to get your perspective on it. But I spent literally a third of the book on just the core issues of, you know, assessing, you know, who you are, what you're really looking for and why. And then talking about masculinity and femininity and differences in cultural perspectives and getting guys their arms around what are the core desires of a woman's heart? How do you win her heart? What are they really looking for? And so I agree with you. And I from my own pragmatic work, I spend a lot of time focusing on that preparatory work, because the truth is, it is the same amount of desires in their heart. The woman wants to be pursued. She wants to know that somebody is interested in her, will take the time to get to know her. The advantage is that they're receptive, there are opportunities, and they're more open to looking for deep value things than, you know, what kind of car you're driving. They're looking for a family relationship, and they value what good guys bring to the table. So I appreciate that clarification, because we're not saying this is, you know, you walk in the store and pick your candy off the shelf. All it is for a good guy who's willing to win a woman's heart, it's a great place to go with different cultures. And I think there's a part of a sense of destiny. For some guys, when they hear about this, their heart just resonates. They go, wow, there's something about that that intrigues me. And it's for that piece of the population that we just want to help educate them and guide them and say, well, if that really does resonate with you, then you might want to look into this. Because for those of us who it did, it certainly was the answer to our quest.
Você vai curtir comigo e vai dançar todo mundo aí. Porque nesse barato, nesse esperto, nesse swing, vamos ver, vamos dançar, vamos sacudir, vamos balançar.
Hey, hey. And this is your host, Mark Edward Davis. This is International Dating for Men on the WebTalkRadio.net network. Glad you're here. This is the place where great guys can become superstars overseas and come home with the women of their dreams. Great segment. Got to agree with it. I mean, how can you argue with the fact that we as Americans tend to be myopic in our thinking? We think about our global vision as far as it is around us. Everything is American. It's what we understand it to be. And we don't open ourselves up to the broader global perspective. And as John said, this is one of the greatest dating secrets in the world. And for more on finding your special one in this world, go to internationaldatingformen.com. Get the book, Mastering the Adventure of International Dating. Get it in the mail today. We're picking up now section 2. There's actually 4 chunks. I've divided this out to break up the content, the thought process, into 4 segments. Here is segment number 2 of the interview with John. Let me ask you about the transition on the early days, because you know, if I understand correctly, you were sort of creating these first tours. I know there's these other catalog things in the past, and you were trying to do something different. And tell me about that.
Well, you know, and I knew of another company that was doing something similar, although I just really didn't like the way that it was being done, because it was just too, you know, I have a ton of respect for the women that participate in this, and some of these other ones that I was aware of, the women were basically lined up in a kind of a stark room, and the men sat down and pointed to a woman, and then she would come to a table and sit there with his translator.
Oh, my
gosh.
Some of
them never got a chance to go anywhere. They just stood against the wall for 3 hours. And
how degrading.
How humiliating is that? I always thought, you know, and this was, you know, not very widespread, but I just noticed that, and I thought, you know, there's got to be a much better way to do this. And so when we put together our tour, we wanted a combination of both the socials and the one-on-one introductions as much as possible. We put a heavy emphasis on customer service while you're there, so that you can meet as many different women as you want in the different forums that were available, whether it's in the social or the one-on-one introduction, or we even did a smaller, more what we used to call the intimate social. So there was a lot of different ways in which we did it. But I'll tell you, the first tour that we did, absolutely fantastic. It was in Petersburg, Russia, and we actually did the socials in 3 different venues, and the first one was on a riverboat, actually, on the Neva River, and it was really neat. I mean, we put so much work into that first social, I can't even tell you. I mean, we were cooked the food ourselves, prepared it the night before. I still remember staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock, putting together the shashlik that we were going to cook on the back of the boat that we were on, this big, you know, river boat that we were going down the Neva River with. And you know, it was our first ever social, and of course we were all very nervous. You know, would the women come? How would it work? You know, we had about 15 guys or so, and to do it on a boat like that is a little different concept, because everyone had to be there a certain time. Then the boat actually took off.
Left,
we
yeah.
Docked. We actually left. And so we had, and the women came and came and came, and it was fantastic. See all these beautiful women coming. I mean, it was my first time at a social, obviously, and to see that was just amazing.
Wow.
And so then we actually sailed, and we're going, and we're cooking the food, and the social was fantastic. The guys were and the women were just having a great time. And the nice thing about that particular social is the only one we ever did on a boat, but the women were a captive audience. They couldn't leave if they wanted to. They had to jump over and swim. You know, so that was kind of neat.
Hey, there's a good idea.
Yeah, we like that. And so then we got back. And then the other two socials were done at two different venues. And it was a lot of work because you just had that one particular tour, but we did three different venues for the socials, and we came to understand that that wasn't really necessary, that you could actually do it in one venue because you have different women coming to each social, and the guys really didn't care what the venue was. And so we had more control, and it was much easier. But the socials were done very nicely with the eye towards the woman and to respect her. You know, the women were seated at the tables, and there was three or four women at each table, and the man was the one that walked around, and he went from table to table and talked with the different women. And if there was one particular woman that he was really interested in, then he could actually, you know, get up with her and move aside and talk to her a little quietly, but still be polite to the other women. And, you know, we supplied very nice food, drinks, music, tried to make it very nice because the ratios are so out of whack.
Sure.
You know, there's so many more women than there are men.
Sure.
You know, it's a 7-8-to-1 ratio in a lot of cases, that you want to do whatever you can to keep the women interested, to keep them feeling that they're not just there with all these other women, they have no chance to meet someone. And the reason we do that is there's no better way. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years now, and I know of no better way to do it. I mean, you know, I'll talk to some women and they'll say, "Oh, John, there's so many women here. Why don't we just do, you know, 20 men and 20 women?" And I said, "Well, I could do that, but then who would I not invite? Would I not invite you or her?" And then the women then begin to understand that these men came a very, very long ways away, very far away, and we only have a limited amount of time. So at least in this venue, everyone has the opportunity to meet everyone at least very quickly. And, you know, Mark, it's that, and I think you probably felt it when you met Anna, and I know I did when I met Tanya, it's that instant when you make that eye contact and you feel something inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that physical attraction at first, which you really have to have. Obviously, you need much more than that to sustain a relationship.
Right.
But you need to have that physical attraction at the beginning. And when you look at someone and you feel that, and then you talk to them and it's still there, then you know you want to move forward with that person, so you make a date for them for the next day. But if not for that social, you may not have ever met that. And I'll tell you, Mark, if not for that social, you probably never would have met Anna.
That's right.
So the socials are just, I think, an incredible tool to use during the tour, but it's not the only tool that we use, but it is one of them, and I think it is extremely efficient and effective.
Well, the point is, the thing I value so much about what you do is legitimacy, is guys confess. I mean, you know, you got to meet them eyeball to eyeball to know if this is going to be your partner. You want to be in their physical proximity. You want to be married to somebody in flesh and blood. So you have to make that personal connection. And so what I appreciate about your company is that you are clear that you're a tour company. You're a way to get people face-to-face with these, to see which one they have that spark with. And that the rest of the magic takes place. Your job is just to get them in a room and present the opportunity. But I think that's where the authenticity is, and the credibility of truly being a relationship-oriented company about seeing happily ever afters and posting clearly the engagements you have every year on an ongoing basis. As people get married, you list and you show the girls' profiles. This one's now engaged. You know, here's how many we had this year.
And it's so fun to be the tour leader on these tours, because now I'm married, you know, the pressure's off. I'm not looking for anyone, but I see so many wonderful women there, and then the guys, and be present and observe how they're all interacting, because I just get to stir the pot. And it's just fun to watch, because, you know, the guys are just fantastic, and how they interact with each other is worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're going out on all the dates, they're coming back, and suddenly I get this paternal thing going. I'll sit outside of the hotel, you know, till 1-2 in the morning sometimes, and the guys will be coming back one at a time or two at a time if they double date it. And they don't want to go to sleep. They want to talk about everything that happened on their dates. And it's so fun to sit there in the lobby of the hotel and just talk about everything. And these guys haven't had this kind of experience for years, maybe. And all of a sudden, they're going out, they're buying flowers and candy and figuring out what to bring the mother and the, if she has a daughter or some children, what to get them. And then they're coming back and they're reliving the whole date that they just had, and we're going over things. And, well, what do you think this meant? And what about this and this? And I had one guy that came back once, and he was just shaking almost.
Yeah.
I mean, he had such an experience with this woman. It was absolutely amazing. That's a whole story in and of itself, but you get that. And that's something that, you know, I think is just priceless.
Wow. It almost out of body. Just, that's incredible.
Oh, and you know, because you were there.
Yeah,
and you know how the guys like to talk to each other, and especially after breakfast, too, the next morning where everybody's playing Monday morning quarterback after the social and talking about all the girls. Did you see her in this show? She was perfect for you. And it's not a competitive thing at all. Some guys are, well, I want to go by myself because I don't want to be around 20 other guys and we're looking for women. But tell you what, it is much more of a cooperative experience than a competitive experience.
Well, it is.
Guys are helping each other.
No, it is. It's true. And, in fact, you remember even on my trip, myself and one other guy had lined up a date with the exact same woman we'd been writing to. And
right.
So we're both like, really? You got one too? And then we're like, hey, well, let's compare notes afterwards. And, you know, at the end of it is we both ended up finding other people. But, you know, I affirm with you, it wasn't a competitive thing. It was, there was just so many opportunities. And I think that's the difference, where here there's a sense of scarcity, and over there there's definitely a sense of abundance. This is Mark Edward Davis. You're listening to International Dating for Men on WebTalkRadio.net. For more, you can always go to our website, InternationalDatingForMen.com. Get the book, Mastering the Adventure of International Dating. And look for a whole lot of good stuff we're going to be unveiling in the next couple months as the new website comes online. Stay connected. And now we finally get to the John Adams interview part, where we get some practical how-to stuff. This is the 10 things to look for in picking a tour company. All the different parameters are going to help you, because even if you don't know what you're doing yet, you're thinking about this, never heard about it, putting it together, his list helps you kind of understand things you should be looking for. So without further ado, get a pen and paper out. Let's get practical and talk about some how-tos. Well, I want to shift a little bit and ask you about the current state of affairs and your thoughts on what makes for this industry strong today, what makes for a good service, what people should be looking for. And it fascinated me. The reason I actually called and wanted to set this up is because I heard you mention that you had put together sort of your top 10 list of things that you try to live up to and produce and evaluate for yourself on what makes for a good company. So I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I'd be happy to share that with you. You know, we put this together just a little while ago because, you know, some of the guys will use other companies. I understand there's a lot of companies out there now. And I just think it's really important that before you do decide to use a certain company, that you do your due diligence and you research it. Because unfortunately, now, as opposed to 15 years ago, there are some companies out there that just are just not that ethical.
Yeah.
It happens in any industry. I mean,
sure.
Whether it's, you know, car repair, roofing, anything, you're going to
sure.
get that. And, you know, we're not immune to that in this industry. And I think that it's important to look at these 10 items and compare the company that you're considering using and seeing how they stack up compared to others so that you don't end up just throwing good money away. And so that's one of the things that we did. So if you like, I can go through them here.
Yeah, and I appreciate you doing that, because guys don't even know what to look for. You know, this is so new. They don't even know how to shop or compare or even what kind of services are out there. And so I was fascinated, and I've been doing this now for a while, and I thought, well, I'm really curious to know from your perspective, what are those things that you focus on? So, yeah, give me your list.
And let's face it, Mark, we are guys. And when we see a bunch of beautiful women on the sites, like, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. I'll say they're gorgeous. And that's it. Okay? And that's one of the problems here. You have to be careful. You have to get past that.
All reason gets abandoned. Throw the reason out the window. That's a cute picture.
Yeah. And I understand that. I'm a guy, too. But, you know, you have to hold yourself back a little bit. It's okay, she's gorgeous, but what am I doing really here? So the first thing that I think you need to look at is the site itself.
Okay.
I mean, there are going to be telltale signs that you can glean from the site that indicate, you know, how sound the company or agency is. Look at the overall size of the site. How up-to-date is the information? Are you looking at things on the site that weren't changed for the last 5 months or 6 months? Are they still marketing something that happened a year ago? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. You know, Mark, anybody with a computer, a keyboard, and an internet connection can open an agency.
Sure,
okay? And
sure.
Some of these guys can do a great. I've seen kids, you know, not even old enough to drive yet, put together some pretty nice websites
out
there.
Wow, okay.
So you might be working, you might be sending your money to a place that's just, you know, working out of a garage or something like that. And maybe they're still going to be okay. I don't know, but it's been my experience that you want to deal with a professional company that's been in business for some time, that has some track record and history. So, you know, you want to look at the site itself and just get a feel just by looking at the site. What's the content like? Is there a lot of content on the site? You know, if it's just one or two pages and not much information there, then you have to be careful. The second point that I think is very important is the contact information. This, I think, is one of the most important things to look at. And how easy is it to contact the site? I'm amazed at how many sites there are out there and companies out there that hide their contact information. You can't find it.
Oh, it's true.
It's almost impossible to contact these people.
It's ridiculous, you know, and you just go, what are you hiding from? I mean, my goodness, what if I had a concern? I can't call anybody. You know, I'm going to have to scrope through. You know, I mean, it's bad enough when you've got, you know, your computer and you can't find the manufacturer's phone number because they want you to use some other electronic means. But, I mean, my gosh, we're talking about a personal services business here. If you can't get on the phone with somebody, what does that tell you?
Or even an email. Some of them don't even have email. You know, most of them, you'll probably be able to find an email someplace, and you might get an answer 1, 2, 3 days later maybe. But, you know, you should be able to find a phone number. Do they list the company's address? I mean, why wouldn't you list the company's address? Are they hiding from something? You should be able to go into their office. I mean, our office is open to anyone who wants to come anytime and visit us. We actually have open houses that we hold in seminars around the country. Do they list the names and backgrounds of the owners? I mean, if you go to the About Us page, you'll see photos of us on there. You'll see information about us who started this company. You know, you really want to deal with someone that you can actually call and have contact, and if there are problems, be able to resolve those problems. So that's really important, I think.
Sure.
The third point is, you know, is the company U.S.-based? And, you know, that's important for a couple different reasons here, two main reasons, I'll tell you. The first one, I think, and the first reason and the more important of the two is recourse. You know, if something goes wrong, you have options available for recourse and assistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try suing a company in Moscow. Try suing a company in Budapest.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
good
they
luck.
Did something wrong to you. You're just not going to have any recourse there. What are you going to do, report them to the Better Business Bureau in Moscow?
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. So you have to be really careful that if you decide you want to work with a company outside of the U.S., just understand that you've just given up a lot of rights and a lot of possibility for any kind of recourse. You know, we're here. We stand behind everything that we do. We've been doing this for 15 years. We have a fantastic track record, and that's important with a company.
Mm-hmm.
The other point on that U.S.-based is the IMBRA factor.
Well, tell us IMBRA about that. For guys who don't know, what's it spell out? What does it mean? How did it come about?
You know, that's a whole other show, Mark, but I will do it really briefly here because you don't want to get me started on IMBRA. But
no.
IMBRA is International Marriage Broker Regulation Act. And, you know, I've hated that name ever since they came out with it. The government used to call us IMO, which was International Matchmaking Organizations. All of a sudden that got changed to a more insidious name of International Marriage Broker, which we're not a marriage broker. I have my real estate license. And, you know, I work for a real estate broker, and, you know, we get paid when we actually make a sale and someone buys a house.
Yeah.
Well, no one's buying a wife here, okay? And
yeah.
We don't get paid whether or not a woman and a man marry. So there's no brokering going on here.
Well, John, I got to rest assured here, okay? Guys out there are guys. We all understand the lunacy that happens in Congress. Nobody blames you for what Congress did to write a bill, okay?
Well, that term alone, and then the law. But by the way, it doesn't matter where the company's based. If the company is based in Russia and is a Russian company and they're dealing with an American citizen, they still have to comply with the law because they're dealing with an American citizen. Now, do you think the company in Russia is really concerned about our laws and complying with our laws just because they're dealing with an American citizen that happens to be on the internet?
No.
Absolutely not. And they don't. And so that can lead to a problem down the road when you do meet someone, let's say it does work, and you do meet someone through this company, and you decide to do a fiancé visa. Because on the fiancé visa paperwork, they've now changed it to where they ask about IMBRA. And that could throw a monkey wrench into everything. So you really do have to be careful. You want to work with a IMBRA-compliant company, and those are mainly going to be in the U.S. And even in the U.S., there are companies that are just not doing it. So you really do have to be careful when you're doing this, so just so you don't have problems down the road when you go to the fiancé visa. That's the only way it's really going to affect you. You're not going to get in any other trouble because you met someone on a site that wasn't IMBRA-compliant. The site's going to have problems, possibly, but not you. But it may come back to bite you with the fiancé visa because they do ask that on the form. Number four, check with the reporting agencies. I know this is common sense, but how many of you out there actually do that? It's a good idea to research any agency before using them. Check with the local BBB. Again, that's if it's an in-U.S. company. But check with the Better Business Bureau. Check with the state's attorney general's office, the Consumer Relations Division. See what kind of track record this company has. I mean, if you go to the Phoenix chapter of the Better Business Bureau, you'll see that we have an A rating. And we've been doing this for 15 years. We do thousands of transactions every year. We take thousands of men on tours. And we still have an A rating with the BBB. That tells you a lot about a company. So I think it's important to look at that. Sometimes, though, and I look at some other reports of other companies, you have to be a little bit careful because anybody can file a complaint at any time. What you really want to look at is a pattern. Are there a lot of complaints from a lot of different people, and how does the company resolve those complaints, too, if there were? Because there can always be a complaint. There can always be a miscommunication, and maybe the client didn't give the company enough time to respond, and he just filed it, and then it goes into the system. Well, how quickly did the company respond? I see somewhere the company just chose not to respond at all, even with the Better Business Bureau involved. That's a red flag. That's a problem. So you really need to look at those kind of things. Look at the size of the company, too. I mean, you might say, this company only had, two complaints, but the company may be a very small company and really didn't do that much business, that many transactions. Whereas if you're comparing it to a company of our size and we've done, tens of thousands of transactions, and you're like, we had the same amount of complaints, let's say, or less, then, you're not comparing apples to apples.
Sure.
So when you do look at these things, you have to look at them with, you have to look a little deeper, I guess.
Okay, well, a fair point taken. Check the company out. What's the next one?
Okay. Testimonials. I think testimonials are extremely important. What are the guys that actually use the service saying about the service?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. If you, again, go to our site, you'll see over 500 testimonials, video testimonials, and a ton of written testimonials on there. And we throw them up because it's important, I think, that, they get to see what's going on with us.
I'll back that up for you because, the guys I know, and I ask guys, what is that trigger point? What was the one that got you to say, yes, I want to do this? And really, it's a majority of the time they say it's either somebody they met, they knew, they saw it, or they saw a video and they heard this guy and they saw him give this story of where he did this, he was successful. That was the tipping point. And I think that for us, it helps to look at another guy who is just a regular customer and go, wow, if it worked for you, it can work for me. So I think it's good not only for credibility to be able to say it's a real service, but, I think it's one of those things that helps you realize this isn't an elitist thing. This is very real, and real guys at work, it can work for them. So
absolutely. And will the company give you people to actually talk to? If you call them up, will they give you referrals, which are in testimonials, basically? And I think that's really important, too. You might say, they're only going to give you guys that really like the tour, and they're not going to say anything negative. But I'll tell you what, when you give a phone number out and the client...
Yeah, you have no control.
Calls, I mean, it's the client feels responsibility to tell exactly what he felt. And he might tell some things that weren't so great about the tour, but that's good because you get to hear everything and then you make your decision. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, I didn't know you did that. Actually, I'm impressed. And I've been on the other side of that where I've had people call, ask Mark. And there's, I'll tell you from the side when I'm the one getting the phone call because I'm sitting around the phone with a guy and you're not on the call, so it's just me and him. And there's a part of me where I feel an obligation to have to at least tell him the truth because I want him to see, you know, the pros and cons, you got to be aware to do this. So truthfully, the fact you're willing to hand that out, you know, you have no control over the conversation. I think that's very authentic. I think that's very credible. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah, very important.
And you're listening to International Dating for Men. This is Mark Edward Davis. We are on the WebTalkRadio.net Alliance of Stations. And I want to just thank you for listening to us and checking this out. I was amazed at the statistics. We got a lot of guys listening to this program. Appreciate you sharing the word and getting it out and letting other people know about this. Go to the WebTalkRadio.net. Send other buddies there. Send them the link. Get the word out. We want as many guys as possible to know this is a very viable and legitimate option for their dating experience and come away with incredible, superior results. And that's why we're here. Education, information is power, because the truth of the matter is there are more than enough phenomenally gorgeous women for every guy in America if he just learns where to find them. Now we're going to pick up the last 5 points. And if you heard in that last part, as we covered the first 5 sections, looking for the company's website, making sure they have contact information, are they U.S.-based, checking them out with a Better Business Bureau, listening to other guys' testimonials. You heard John get a little fired up there about part of the regulatory stuff they got thrown on there. Well, in these last 5, there's one of them that kind of hits one of my hot spots. So get ready for that. And let's go with the final segment here with John Adams and myself.
Very important. Okay, the next one is the different forums the company provides for interaction. You know, we've been doing our Monday night phone call here for about 8 or 9 years, where mm-hmm. we have people call in that have taken our tours before, mm-hmm. and then we have potential clients call in. We have a moderator. Everybody gets to talk to everybody and exchange ideas and share information. And I think that's really, really important. We do seminars. All around the country, where we'll actually hold an open house type seminar where people can come in and talk to us. We have a panel there. You've actually been involved, I think, in one of our mm-hmm. seminars. I mean, that's important. We have a webcast where, you know, you can actually see us and see video and call in and talk to us, and we're right there. So what kind of forums do, you know, the company, does the company provide? At least, is it a written form where they can, you know, type something into some kind of a form and then have other people from that site join you and exchange ideas? And if there's nothing like that available with the company, then you got to ask yourself, well, what are they hiding? I mean, are they afraid to open a phone form? Are they afraid of the calls they might get? I mean, we've been doing this for years and years and years, and we take all calls, and I'll tell you, 99.9% of them are very positive calls that come in. So I think that's very important to do.
Sure. What else you got?
The next one is, you know, do a little search yourself on the Internet. The Internet is an amazing resource, mm-hmm. as most of you know. Put in the company's name. Put it in a few different ways and mm-hmm. Google it and see what comes up. Maybe put the word complaint after the company's name and see what comes up. Again, it depends how long the company's been around. If it's a brand-new company, this isn't going to work so well because they haven't had time to hang themselves yet if they're going to be doing unethical things. But if it's a company that's been around for a few years, then, you know, there's going to be some stuff written about them. Go to ripoff.com or some of the other sites that, you know, people can lodge complaints. Or, you know, they'll just, if you put in their name, you'll be surprised what comes up on some of them. And again, I think that's very important.
Wow. It's gutsy of you to say that, because I imagine you've got some disgruntled people, too, that chime theirs in. But for you to just go ahead and say that's pretty authentic, I respect that.
No, I think it's important to do. I really do.
What else you got?
Another thing is length of time of business. Mm-hmm. I think that's important as well. You know, how long has the company been around? You know, it doesn't mean because they've been around for a long time that they're going to be the best company to work with. But it does tell you that, hey, they've been around a long time. They must be doing something right.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been around 15 years. We started the whole thing on the Internet. So,
sure.
You know, it must tell you something. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're the absolute best out there. Although we are, but no, it doesn't mean that. but I think that it gives you at least another barometer. And if you use all of these together, I think it really does help. And I would just say ease of information is important too. How difficult is it to correspond directly with the women that you're trying to on the site? Do they keep it so locked up that you cannot get to the women and interact with them directly as the company, always involved. Mm. I know with Imbra, as we talked about before, it gets a little bit more difficult. You know, before Imbra, we used to just give out the postal address, the email address, all of that. Now we can't do that as well. Well, we do that very quickly as far as the email address. We can still give that out very quickly, and you can still correspond with the woman if she has an email address directly, and we're out of the loop after the first email. I mean, you're doing it directly, and there's no more going through us. Now, if you need help with translations or things like that, then we do have our express mail or our email forwarding, and we're, you know, be happy to help you with that. But even then, you can have her come in and sign that Ember form and try to correspond directly. So that's important, too. How difficult is it to get contact information of the woman? Some sites don't want you to get that information. They want you to keep going through them, and they really don't want you to go over and see her. And that's another thing. I mean, does the company encourage you to go over and actually meet these women? I mean, that's our whole site is geared to you finally getting off the couch, getting on the plane, and going and meeting these women and seeing which one is right for you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at most other companies, they have nothing set up for that.
Yeah.
Almost like a big pen pal.
Yeah, you want to talk about something that's going to get me fired up. You're on the one right there, because to me, the thing that I'm just frank, it pisses me off more than anything else, is so much of this candy stuff out there that they just want to flash up a bunch of good-looking pictures. And there really is no serious intent about you actually getting there and meeting them. They just want to bilk the money they can get out of writing and keeping you fantasized about this photograph. And it blew me away to hear you actually say, and you're a company actually, you know, you have a part of your business is writing these women. You said, look, the letter writing is just a tiny piece. It's not even real. The real thing is getting there eyeball to eyeball. And I thought that's even contrary to something you make money on. But I think that was credible, because it's just like, guys, you can't marry a photograph. I mean, you're kidding yourself. It's ridiculous. You got to freaking get on a plane and meet them. And so the only real question is, if you're serious about this, if it's resonating, if you connected with somebody either in writing or you just think the concept is good, you got to eventually get there. So which companies make it their aim and goal and mission to say, we want to get you connected with these women, and we're going to facilitate that as the focus of the business. I mean, so many of them, the focus of their business is not all about, so many about the letter writing, and they have all this time about how to write letters and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, the letter writing has got so many gaps, and the only truth is getting you there. I so respect it. In fact, I played on this radio station on our radio show last 2 weeks ago when Dr. Charles, who had just come back. I mean, you did that call-in. They hadn't even landed 48 hours. And here's a guy who is a nationally recognized pathologist. He did, the autopsy for Elvis Presley and all these people. He studied this for several years to verify the credibility of it. And he made this comment, which fascinated me. He says, I had about a half a dozen or so of women I was interested in, but I didn't write to any of them. I just wanted to get over there. I landed on the ground. I made contact with my tour director and the translator. I said, these are the ones I'm interested in, but he just turned it over to, I think it was just to Max and I think it was Mike, and just said, you know, here's what I'm looking for. A woman who's like this, this, and this. Would you mind trying to find someone who brings me? And they did. They just simply said, we know what kind of you're looking for. A couple came to mind. They introduced two to him, and one of them was it. You know? It's like, well, that's really where the magic is. Truthfully, there are so many women over there. You can just show up. And tell your guide what you're looking for.
Yeah. We had a guy that came back yesterday from the Ukraine, and he was just really disappointed. He did everything that he wasn't supposed to do, and we talked about it, and I think he's going to go again on a group tour, but he went over on his own. See, when you work with a lot of these other sites, and they're pushing just to write letters, and then a lot of them say, just go over to meet the one woman. Don't go over to meet other women, because you might upset her. Well, he went over, and he just met one woman, and he was writing her about four or five, they exchanged about four or five letters, not a real long history there.
Gee.
And he actually brought her to Kiev from Kharkov and brought her interpreter. She wanted her own interpreter, brought her interpreter there. And he said that, you know, she was as cold as a fish.
Yeah.
And he spent 3 days with her.
Oh.
So she was there. I mean, and there wasn't anything insidious or evil about what was going on. There just was no connection.
Right.
And he spent $3,000 or $3,500 on that trip.
Yeah.
It's like, John, I only met the one woman, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And I said, Yeah, I know. Because, you know, the odds of going halfway around the world to meet one woman who you exchanged four or five letters with, even if you exchanged 50 letters with, you just don't know what's going to happen when you meet in person. And that, we're going to have a show on Thursday night here coming up, and we're going to talk about that, the difference between group tour and individual, because I'll tell you, that is a huge thing there, because that, more than anything else, upsets me when guys go over just to meet one woman, and when sites tell them that they should do that.
Yeah.
That's a huge mistake. You could go over on a group tour, and I think they have this misnomer if they go on a group tour that they're just always going to be meeting all these women and they can never really focus on one. Well, that's just not true.
Right.
You can go over on a group tour and you can still meet that one woman that you want to meet. You can meet the woman that you were writing to, but in conjunction with that, at least you're meeting other women, or at the very worst case, at least you have backup to where if you know the woman that you really want to meet, if it's not working so well, all of a sudden you have all these other women and all this other support. Because when And another big problem is when you go over on your own to meet that one woman, you're kind of a captive audience. You're like this kid that doesn't understand what's going on because you're in a foreign country, you don't speak the language, and you're pretty much at her beck and call. She's got the power, basically, over you and can direct where you go, what restaurants you go to, what hotel you go to, when you go, where you go. Whereas if you're with a group tour, you have so much more support and information, which is power, that all of a sudden you're back on a level playing field with her because you know which restaurants to go to, you know what to do, you know how to get around because you have all these people helping you.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, it's night and day, Mark, and it's so important for guys to understand that for the same amount of money, you get so much more support and so many more opportunities for success than just going over there individually. And we do individual tours. If you want to go over individually, we have individual programs set up, too, that you can, but he chose not to do that either. He just went directly with her and came back and wrote me this, well, he called me, and then I asked him to put in an email, and he wrote this, you know, great email about how not to do what he did. You know, I'm going to have that post on our site. And that's the second email I've gotten like that here recently. I have another one that's titled something like, how to blow $3,000 to meet the woman of your dreams over there. And that's true. You got to be careful.
Well, you know, in our dear brother-in-law, you know, he wrote his whole story out of the same thing. You know, he wrote out his tour experience where, you know, he put emotional energy and effort into somebody he planned on meeting, and she was exactly what the letters were valid. Everything about her, she was that beautiful. She was that person. But she was hyperactive, and it drove him nuts. And it was like, you know, how would you know that in letter writing, you know, that there was mannerisms that drive you crazy? So, you know, to me, whether you do like, you know, Dr. Charles, is just show up and tell the guide what you're looking for, let him bring them to you, or, you know, or all the different things that you're taught, it's still, I agree with you. The point is, you know, is the company you're talking to focused on getting you over there and maximizing your opportunity once you're overseas? So that's a good one. What number are we on now?
I think we've pretty much gone through all of the... talk about size? Well, if I talk about size, bigger is not always better.
No, it's okay. We quit adding numbers to them when you just kept saying, and the next one is. So I wasn't sure what number we were at.
I think we're about there.
No problem.
You know, if you pay attention to these, you know, 10 items here, and if you kind of rate each company you're looking at based on these items, then I think you're going to be a lot better off and a lot safer on the company that you use, and hopefully we'll have a much more positive experience and hopefully a successful outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's been my privilege to work with you. I'm glad to jump on some of your calls, your conferences when that works.
I appreciate that.
And promotion of my book, but it's a delight. And John, is not only are you a professional and a guy's guy and really down to earth and relatable, you know, it's one of the favorite guys that when you're hosting a tour, guys love your tours and they love the other guys too, but everybody's got their, I guess your favorite tour guide's the one you went on your tour with, but you know, I enjoyed having you and you've been a good friend, but the amazing part is that you just run a very authentic company with sincerity and you're passionate about service and delivering on, you know, what you feel is sort of a mission. And I appreciate that even more than a business. It's like something that really lights your fire. And I see that in your eyes every time I watch you speak or whatever you do. So it's really a passion mission based company. And so I appreciate that about you and appreciate you having on the show this week.
Thank you very much, Mark, and please give my regards to Anna and hope everything's going well with her. Hope to see her soon. And you?
Delightful, as always. You got it. Thanks, bud.
Right.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And with that, we are done. Fantastic. Told you'd be a must listen to. Delivered. Thank you, John Adams, for being on the show. Those the outline of your 10 thoughts were phenomenal. Helped to get a grasp on what to look for, even how to think about what's out there and put it in some kind of framework. Great stories. Appreciate understanding how this whole thing came together. Guys, share this. Send the link out to another buddy. Let them know to check out this radio show, because there are more gorgeous women around the world than there are even single guys here in America. And there's no reason any guy doesn't have a right to pursue the desires of his heart. It may simply be a lack of information and understanding his options. So catch you next week. And remember, guys, sometimes you may have to look a little further to find what you're really looking for.
The world is love.